Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Heavenly Father, as we've been singing, "Yet not I, but through Christ in me," we pray that for ourselves this evening as we come to your word. We pray that you would help us to see ourselves with humility and to have an exalted view of the Lord Jesus, who has done everything for us. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, I want to begin by asking you two questions. The first question is this: how big a deal is your sin? How serious is it, the fact that you are someone who is sinful? That's the first question. Second question is, how willing is Jesus to cleanse you? How ready is Jesus to make you clean of your sin by forgiving you? How big a deal is your sin? How willing is Jesus to cleanse you? Because how you answer those two questions will radically shape your attitude towards Jesus. So if I think to myself, "Well, my sin, it's not that big a deal, really, to be honest," and in any case I realize that Jesus is really, really willing to cleanse me of it, what's the result of that going to be? Well, probably I won't be particularly grateful or joyful. I may even be quite proud. Because in my mind, if that's how I think, when Jesus has really just done me a small favor. Like if you've got a shirt or a blouse that's got a small stain on it, and someone you know, your housemate, a spouse, someone else, puts it in the washing for you. How do you feel towards them? Well, probably grateful a bit. Thankful. You think, "Well, I could have done it myself. I probably didn't need to put it in the washing machine. Just a quick rub and that would have done the job. But, I'm happy to have a clean shirt." You're kind of grateful, a little bit, maybe. If I think my sin isn't that big a deal and realize that Jesus is really willing to cleanse me of it, I'll be like that. But the other way around also causes problems. Because if I realize and think, I understand my sin is a really, really big deal and I'm caked in it, but I doubt whether Jesus is really willing to cleanse me of it, well, what's that going to result in? That's going to result in me being worried and hesitant and very, very slow to ask Jesus for cleansing. Say if one day a bus drives past you through a muddy puddle and covers you in muddy water. And as you run to get out of the rain, you slip over in the park and you get caked in mud. And you think, "Well, I know a friend nearby and I can go to their house." But you're not sure how they're going to react. Will they be annoyed at me? Will they be reluctant to help? Will they help me, but kind of resentfully? How do you feel as you stand on the doorstep about to knock? My guess is tentative, hesitant. Maybe I won't knock, actually. Maybe I'll just leave it. If we realize that our sin is a really, really big deal, but doubt whether Jesus is actually willing to cleanse me of it, that's how we'll react. Hesitant. "I'm not sure. I better stay away." Well, this evening in Luke 5, Luke wants to persuade us of two things. He wants to persuade us that our sin is a really, really big deal, and that Jesus is really, really willing to cleanse us of it. And the result of that is, if we can get our heads and our hearts around these two things, we won't be proud or kind of not that grateful towards Jesus, kind of, Neither will we be kind of hesitant and uncertain and tentative to approach him. Rather, we'll be humbled by our sin and really confident of his cleansing. At the same time, we'll be sobered by who we are and what we're like, and overjoyed by what Jesus can do for us. So that's what we're going to look at this evening, the seriousness of our sin, and then secondly, Jesus' willingness to cleanse us of it. First off, the seriousness of our sin. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, hold on a moment, why are we talking about sin? Because this is a passage which is all about leprosy, that contagious skin disease. Verse 12 tells us, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Now, what we've got to know is that in the Bible, leprosy is closely associated with sin. Sometimes in the Old Testament, leprosy is a punishment for sin. So in Numbers chapter 12, you may remember Miriam and Aaron, they oppose Moses. And God punishes Miriam by giving her leprosy. In 2 Kings chapter 5, you may remember Gehazi, Elisha's servant, who lies and is fraudulent. And God punishes Gehazi by giving him leprosy. Or in 2 Chronicles 16, King Uzziah burns incense in the temple. Now, that's something that only the priest is permitted to do, but Uzziah is adamant that he's going to do it. And God stops him and punishes him by giving him leprosy. Now, I don't think that means that everybody who had leprosy was being punished for specific sins. It was also a contagious disease, so it would have spread. But leprosy, at the very least, is an illness that has its roots in sin, closely associated with sin. And it's also a very good picture of sin in the Bible. It has the same effects as sin. So sin, like leprosy, makes you unclean. So you think of this man. He comes to Jesus. What does he beg Jesus to do? Does he beg Jesus to heal him? Well, that's not actually the language that he uses. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Leprosy made someone unclean. It's a picture of sin, because sin also makes us unclean. If you were with us last Sunday evening, we mentioned in passing Isaiah, who, when he sees this vision of God, is scared and says, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. He's speaking of a sin that has made him unclean. So sin, like leprosy, makes you unclean. And sin is like leprosy in that it separates us from God and from God's people. So because it was contagious, lepers were quarantined. They were banished to the outskirts of the cities. They were required to let their hair hang loose. And they had to call out in a loud voice for everybody to hear them, unclean, unclean, so that no one would come near them. They were forbidden from worshipping in the temple. They were separated from God and from his people. And sin has that very same effect. It separates us from God and from his people. You know, in Revelation 21, the picture, God's picture of his new creation, the future for all believers, we're told that nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false. Sin makes us unclean, like leprosy, and it separates us from God and from his people. And then sin, just like leprosy, required sin offerings and guilt offerings to make atonement. So leprosy has these close associations with sin. It's a consequence of sin. It's a picture of sin. And that's one of the reasons why this account of this leper in Luke chapter 5 comes slap bang in the middle of this section, which is all about how Jesus engages and interacts with people who are sinful. It's a picture of sin. Now, any time we're given a picture of sin, we would do well to have a good look at it and to ask ourselves if we see our sin in this way. Do we realize that sin, like leprosy, makes us unclean? Do we realize that about our sin? Do we realize that it makes us unfit to be part of God's people? It bars us from worshiping God. Do we realize that if we're not cleansed of our sin, we will be excluded from God's new creation? Like this leper, we will be barred and banished. Do we see our sin, like leprosy, as a big, big, serious deal? Well, one sign that we see sin like this is if we come to Jesus like this man comes to Jesus. Verse 12 tells us, when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." It's quite something, isn't it, for him to fall on his face and beg. He doesn't expect cleansing. He doesn't come to Jesus as if I don't know if you ever get those kind of coffee loyalty cards. You get 5 coffees, you get the stamps, and you've got your loyalty card, and you go to the coffee barista and you say, "I'm here to claim my free coffee." He doesn't come to Jesus with that kind of attitude, this kind of expectant, "I'm come to claim my cleansing." No. And he doesn't come to Jesus entitled. He doesn't come to him and say, "Well, Jesus, obviously you know who I am, and I know you've been keen to get me on your team for quite some time, and I'm glad to say that I'm here now, and you can seal the deal if you can just cleanse me." No, he's not entitled. He begs Jesus. He's desperate. And he knows that Jesus doesn't owe him anything. Now, we might feel that this kind of approach is overkill. I guess many people in our culture would say that, someone like this needs to go to therapy. They need to go and work on their self-confidence. They need to stop thinking so negatively about themselves. They need to work on assertiveness and to stop being so deferential the whole time. But actually, this man sees things really clearly. He's aware of Jesus. He understands that Jesus has the ability to miraculously cleanse him of his leprosy. He says, "You can make me clean." He realizes that there is something extraordinarily special about Jesus. Whether he realizes that Jesus is the creator or thinks that he's a messenger from God, we're not told. But it's clear that he sees in Jesus that here is someone on a different plane, from a different world altogether. Someone who is God-like. So he's aware of Jesus, and he's aware of himself too. He knows that next to Jesus, really, he's just a creature. He knows that whilst Jesus is clean and pure and holy, he's covered in uncleanness. And he gets what I guess so many people fail to get, that there is just quite simply an enormous gulf between him and Jesus. So it's not overkill. it's absolutely right. And so we've got to ask ourselves again, do we see our sin like this man sees his leprosy? It makes us unclean. It bars us from God's presence. It excludes us from being part of God's people. It means that we don't belong. No, our sin, it is really, really serious. And like this man with his leprosy, we're covered in it. We're caked in it. All of our motives, all of our actions are tarnished by it. But secondly then, is Jesus willing to cleanse us of our sin? Does he want to cleanse us? Is he happy to wash our sin away? And if so, how willing? You know, we may at times think to ourselves, well, yes, of course, Jesus is willing. He's officially willing. But actually, maybe he's kind of, he does it, but he's fairly reluctant about it. So that if we come to him for cleansing, we know he'll cleanse us, but we imagine that he's going to be really frustrated with us and annoyed. And say to us, look, you know, this is now the fifth time that you've asked me for cleansing for this specific thing. I'll cleanse you, fine, but please, won't you sort yourself out? Because if we think he's going to be like that, we'll stay away. How willing is he? Well, verse 13 is a wonderful and really special verse. As we see what Jesus is like. Verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Now I think it's astonishing. Because for Jesus to cleanse this man of his leprosy, all he needs to say is those two words, be clean. You know, for other miracles that he does, that's all he does. He just speaks. But here, he says, I am willing. Didn't need to say that. Could have just done the miracle and left it at that. And he doesn't kind of say this, I am willing, from a distance. With his arms kind of folded and backing away and saying, oh yes, I'm willing. Be clean. Stay over there. I'm willing. Now he reaches out his hand and touches him. Unnecessary for the miracle. It's not like his power goes through his hands. No, his power is in his words. Jesus is just doing what we do when we feel compassion for someone. We put our hands in them and say, well, look, of course I'll help you. Of course I will. Now when we remember that this man has a contagious, defiling skin condition. This gesture is just beautiful, isn't it? He's going out of his way, risking uncleanness, to make sure that this man knows just how happy he is to cleanse him. I am willing. But Jesus doesn't just cleanse him. He's also keen for this man to be able to enjoy the blessings that his cleansing brings. So verse 14. Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now Jesus is thinking here of his mission. He doesn't want to be crowded out. He doesn't want to be kept from doing what he knows he's been sent to do. Don't tell anyone. But he's also, I think, thinking of this man and doing what is best for him. Because I think what's going on here is that if this man who was previously highly contagious just kind of rocks up in town and says to everybody, well, look, I've been cleansed. Jesus has cleansed me. Give me a hug. Jesus knows that people are people. They're going to be cautious. They're going to say, well, are you sure? They're not going to want to risk it. And so Jesus says, go to the priest. go to the health inspector at that time. Make the sacrifices. Get the priest to confirm this officially. Because then you'll be accepted much more readily back into God's people. Isn't that kind of Jesus? Not just to cleanse him. Not just to make sure that he knows that he is willing to cleanse him. But also to make sure that he enjoys the benefits that his cleansing brings. The privilege of being allowed back into God's people, allowed to be worshipping again at God's temple. And more than that, Jesus cleanses this man, even though he knows that this man is not going to keep quiet. Even though he knows that Jesus' life is going to be made more difficult as a result of that. Because this man seems to ignore Jesus' command. Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone." Verse 15. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, that is often the way when Jesus does miracles. He says to people, "Look, don't tell anyone," and they go and tell everyone. And it is a hindrance to Jesus. It's a cost for him. It means he can't just find the quiet corner and pray to his Father and recharge. It means he needs to go withdraw to lonely places to pray. He gets crowded out. Now, does Jesus know that this man isn't going to be able to keep quiet? Yeah. Does Jesus know that this is going to make life more difficult for himself? Yes, he does know that. Does he cleanse him anyway? Yes, absolutely. Because he's just so willing and so compassionate and so happy to cleanse this man of his leprosy. And so the point here for us is really this. Our sin is really, really serious. But Jesus is so, so willing and happy to cleanse us and wash us of our sin and forgive us. What will he say to us if we were to humbly ask him for cleansing? He would say, "I'd be delighted." Maybe this evening you're looking into things. You're not sure that you would call yourself a Christian. What does this say to you? Well, I guess to concede and to admit that we're not good enough, to admit that we've disobeyed God, to admit that we're stained by our sin, to admit that we're the spiritual equivalent of this man with leprosy, that is uncomfortable. That's a humbling thing to admit. But this is telling us that humility is the path to knowing full cleansing. It's the only path to a cleansed conscience and to a restored relationship with God, to a place among his people, to a future in his new creation. So can I encourage you, if that's you this evening, to do just that. Maybe even in the quietness of your own heart, do what this man did, who, when he saw Jesus, fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Because if you do that, well, Jesus will reply with a smile on his face, "Of course I am willing. Be clean." But what about to us if we are believers? What does this say to us? Well, I guess as believers, we can sometimes be quite slow to confess our sin. We can be prone to kind of hold on to our sin for some time. The shame of sin holds us back. I think this is telling us we don't need to be like that. because Jesus is more than willing to cleanse us. So if we're like that, we can then, Jesus says, come to me, don't wait. You know, maybe this evening there is something weighing heavily on your conscience, but you're just holding back. Jesus says, come to me. I am so willing to cleanse you of your sin. At other times, we can be less than fully honest in our confession, not quite even prepared to admit the depths of our sin. And again, Jesus is saying, look, we don't need to be like that, because Jesus is so full of compassion. He's so willing to cleanse us of our deep sins. And so he says, in humility, come to me and I will cleanse you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that by your Spirit you would work in our hearts. Help us to be like this man, humbled by our condition, desperate for cleansing. Pray that we would fall at Jesus' knees and beg for cleansing. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus, for his ability to cleanse us so easily, and indeed for his sheer willingness and delight to do that if we would only come to him. So we pray, Lord, work in us. Help us to come to him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.